CBS's Jan Crawford says it stops a move by Colorado to remove him from the ballot.
That means that state efforts to disqualify him will end, and that if you're going to beat Donald Trump, it's going to have to be at the ballot box. It's not going to be by states trying to kick him off the ballot.
A guilty plea today from Jack Teixeira, the Massachusetts Air Guardsman who revealed secrets.
Teixeira leaked hundreds of classified documents on an online messaging platform. The Air Force charged 15 others with dereliction of duty for not properly supervising his access to information.
Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel has been watching the snow pile up in California's Sierra Nevada.
7 feet of snow in 5 days. Incredible. And now a new winter storm is coming in. So we're going to see more snow in southern Oregon, into Idaho, Wyoming, even Utah.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. House districts are staying as is after the state Supreme Court Friday turned down a request by Democrats to order new maps. Republicans hold 6 of Wisconsin's 8 seats, and only 2 are considered competitive. The current districts were drawn by Governor Evers and later upheld by the state's high court. First Lady Jill Biden is warning about what Donald Trump would do about reproductive rights if he returns to the White House.
He's considering a national abortion ban. Donald Trump is dangerous to women and to our families. We simply cannot let him win.
Mrs. Biden was in Waukesha yesterday. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison the day after tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
One person was reported injured in a weekend structure fire in Eau Claire. According to Eau Claire Fire Rescue, firefighters responded to the Uranus Avenue area around 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. When they arrived, they found smoke and fire coming from the first floor of the building. Firefighters were able to remove one person from the house, and they were taken to a local hospital for treatment. Nobody else was reported injured, and there have been no updates on that person's condition. The cause of the fire is under investigation. The city of Altoona is growing faster than the housing supply can keep up with. According to the city's 2023 developmental report, the city issued 175 new dwelling units to bring its total to over 4,700. But with 9,000 current residents and more on the way, the city knows it needs to speed up the process of increasing the housing supply. One plan includes rewriting the zoning codes to make it easier to build affordable units, get needed approvals, and do away with arbitrary development laws. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Brewers beat the Diamondbacks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rematch of last year's playoff series, and this time Milwaukee on top 10-4 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Over the weekend, the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins, able to play some as the designated hitter for the first time since suffering a torn ACL a year ago while still with the Phillies. Hoskins on how soon will he be able to play at first base.
Today went well, but I've learned that it's always about how it goes tomorrow. So, I'm thinking soon, right? We're now in March. Got to get my legs underneath me and be able to play in the field. So I don't know the exact day, but I'm hoping soon.
College basketball, the Badgers with another loss, this time 91-83 to Illinois. They face Rutgers on Thursday. NBA, the Bucks holding a special Sunday practice session to work on some more of their defense.
Really just trying to get better at everything we've put in. You know, address some slippage areas.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It It is going to be cloudy today with a high of 46 this afternoon and some scattered rain developing this afternoon and continuing into this evening. We could get 1 to 2 tenths of an inch of rain by the time it winds down. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clearing 26. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high back to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is Monday, March 4th, 2024. Glad to have you along at 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. A little freedom for you. How long we had that song since the very beginning, right, Mr. Zommers?
Since day one.
Since day one. Picking out freedom is our theme song. Very important, I think. So that's what we like to talk about here. Freedom and truth, right? So there you go. Give us a call. Always glad to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Before the break, we're going to play Mr. Zommers once again here before we get to the calls. The Trumpster over the weekend. And here's the thing. You know, there are people, a couple of salty people now and again who'll say, geez, Todd, you're putting words in Trump's mouth. Not everybody is, you know, a MAGA person. There are a lot of other different kinds of Republicans out there. I actually believe that is true, that there is about 20 to 25% of good folks who call themselves Republicans yet that are not Trump people, that don't believe in Trump or Trumpism, and they're not going to vote for Trump in November. 20 to 25% of the Republican Party out there not going to vote for Trump in November, which is a huge problem for the Republican presumptive Republican nominee, which not a lot of people want to talk about. I do, because I know how it works. I've been in the game. Republicans have a huge problem when your nominee does not appeal to 20 to 25% of your base. Not just doesn't appeal, they say they're not going to vote for him. But I have said repeatedly on this show that my former party, after being a Republican for nearly 30 years, leaving in 2011 over voter suppression efforts, I've said, look, it is no longer the party of Reagan, of Eisenhower, of Lincoln, of Tommy Thompson. It is a party of Trump. And some people don't like it when I say that. They get salty. Well, here now, the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump, saying on the campaign stand what the Republican Party of today is.
And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
So there you go. Trump declaring that the current Republican iteration of the Republican Party is 98 to 100% MAGA. They have taken over the party. They kicked out Rhoda McDaniel. And now it's going to be Chris LaCivita, Trump's campaign manager, essentially, running the party along with Laura Trump, Trump's daughter-in-law. It is the party of Trump, even according to him. 855 952-4842. Let's go to Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Peggy in Brooklyn, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yes, I totally agree with you with Trump. He's totally out of control. But I don't get why we've been moving this back. I'm really sorry, but I honestly think we're going to have a huge, huge problem coming up here because we're getting way too close to elections.
A huge problem? How, Peggy?
I don't like saying this word, but we could have a civil war. I honestly think you're going to have a problem.
Regarding whether Trump is legitimately elected or Biden is legitimately elected, I don't believe necessarily it's going to be a full-out civil war like we've talked about in the past. I do think that's a pretty volatile word, but we have spoken on this show before that regardless of who wins in November, who legitimately wins, and either one right now could legitimately win, Trump or Biden, that how the losing side accepts the results, that potentially, keyword potentially, could lead to a lot of unrest throughout America, not along necessarily geographic lines, but just chaos and unrest throughout America of how it comes down to how people are going to accept the results, right?
True. I have one more question for you. So what do you think is going to happen to Wisconsin now that they shot down Evers' maps?
On the congressional side?
Yeah.
We're going to get into that just a little bit here, but that's fine. I actually think it was the right decision
I do too, but I'm kind of, will we get maps in place before this next election, you think? I guess that's my
question. The factual part is that the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled last week that the maps that we have now for the congressional boundaries will remain for the 2024 election. So that's done and over. That is set.
Oh, okay.
And as you noted, they are the maps that Governor Evers submitted prior, but it's important to note that those maps had to be under certain parameters of least change, which was set by the former conservative leading Wisconsin Supreme Court. So to put it in layman's terms, Governor Evers did the best he could to make them fair maps within the parameters that he was given by the former conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Those
lines will stay. The maps that we have for Congress will stay through this election. And then the new maps that were decided on, legislative maps for state Senate or assembly, those maps will take effect this fall in 2024.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to know. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Peggy. Yep. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, thanks for calling back. What say you?
So let me see if I'm digesting what you just shared with the audience correctly. So if I'm a Republican in the Republican Party, and I do not, I'm one of those 25% that don't agree with Trump. Trump just basically, by getting up there and saying that, he said, well, it's nice that you think you're Republican, but if you're not a MAGA, you're not a Republican. I think he just shot himself in the foot a little bit, because the people that don't identify with MAGA, and you have some people on this show that don't really agree with everything he does, but they're still going to vote for him because they're conservatives and they don't want to vote for Biden. Mm-hmm. Well, he just said, well, if you're not 100% on the boat with me, you're not a Republican. If I was one of those 25%, I would be angry as you know what, that he just went out and publicly kicked me out of the party that I've been in.
Yeah.
I would not take too lightly about that.
I think that's a great point, Stephen, and I agree with you 100%. Thanks for calling back. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Stephen nails it on the head that Trump is making it clear that if you are not MAGA, you are not welcome in the Republican Party. And this is going to have repercussions, if it's handled right, for Republicans across the state. Every reporter, every journalist should be asking their state senator, their state representative, do you agree with that? Either play the comments or read them to him or her. Sitting state elected officials, state senators, state representatives should have to answer. Do you believe and do you support the words of Donald Trump that the Republican Party is now 98 to 100% MAGA? It's a very simple question, yes or no. Now, they will be reticent to answer it because they don't want to. Because they know, to Stephen's point, it's going to alienate 20 to 25% of their voters in their own base, in their own party. Let's give a listen to what Michael Steele, the former chairman of the Republican Party, National Republican Party, former chairman Michael Steele, responded over the weekend on a talk show to what Trump said, that cut we played, that 98 to 100% of Republicans or the Republican Party is now MAGA. Here's what Michael Steele, former GOP chair, had to say in response.
Game on, Trump. Game on. I've been in this party since 1976. If anyone is the biggest rhino, it's you. And we coming for you. So just so you understand, you drew the line, baby. Stepping up to it on a whole lot of Republicans out there, at least 40% or more, are stepping to that line, too. So you just need to chill on that. What you got, y'all?
Oh, Alicia, Michael Steele putting Donald Trump on notice.
Just on notice.
He's having a little fun at that. Michael Steele seems to think there's more Republicans that are opposed to Trump closer to 40. I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, there you have the former chairman, national chairman, of the Republican Party calling Donald Trump a rhino, which stands for Republican in name only. It's something that the conservatives like to trot out against any Republican like Mitch or Mitt Romney or others who might be conservative or pragmatic. Basically, in the Trump world now, in the rhino or in the MAGA world, if you are not a Trumpster, you're a rhino. You're a Republican name only. But Michael Steele actually has it correct. That this current iteration of people calling themselves Republicans are not Republicans at all. They're not conservative. They're not against Russia, the old Soviet Union. They're not pro-democracy. They're everything that, nearly everything that the original and former Republican Party stood for. Michael Steele is absolutely correct. And again, this is the problem that Trump and Republicans are going to have come November. That you have a nominee at the top of the ticket in Donald Trump who is calling out and alienating a quarter of your own voters, not to mention independents or Democrats. You have to be able to keep your own party, your own voters together if you have any hope of winning a national or statewide election. And again, I think if Democrats handle this right, this could be valuable in Wisconsin by asking Republicans who are running for assembly or a state senate, do you agree with Donald Trump? Do you agree the Republican Party is now 98 to 100% MAGA? They won't want to answer, but hold them to the fire. As my friend, former majority leader, in the Wisconsin State Senate, Democrat Tim Cullen taught me long ago and is fond of saying, when you're dealing with a politician, remember this. Any answer other than a yes is a no. And any answer other than a no is a yes. Very good advice indeed, particularly when dealing with MAGA. Welcome back. Talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejecting state congressional maps. Get your calls as well. It is a Monday, March 4th, along with Zomers. I'm All Ball. This is the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media. Ready now.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmalke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome.
I'm the one you need to know. I'm the map. I'm the map. I'm the map. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there, I bet. I'm the map.
All right, you're the map. I didn't know what we were doing there. Sorry. 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Hour number 2 of the show. I'm the map. What great song.
I'm the map.
What song is that?
That's the map song from Dora the Explorer.
Oh,
sure. Where they pull the map out of the backpack. Oh. I'm the map.
Dora the Explorer. That came along a little bit after me, but I'm familiar. I'm familiar. Very good. Well, you're timely. Timely indeed, as the great Mike Lucas might say. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from last week. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday. Maybe you were already off on your weekend, so thought we'd take a little time to just review this. On Friday, Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected a request to consider the state's congressional maps ahead of the next election, ensuring the current district boundaries will remain in place for 2024. Great call there earlier by Susan in Brooklyn. So to be clear, crystal clear, the Wisconsin Supreme Court already ruled prior that the legislative maps that Governor Evers had submitted, that those will be in effect for the legislative races, for your assembly and Senate races. There will be new lines, new districts for this year, both in the primary and in the general election for the state legislative maps. But for Congress, for your U.S. congressperson, the current maps that we have right now, those maps, because of the ruling on Friday, will remain for the 2024 election. Back to the Journal Sentinel story by Lawrence Andrea. The court's decision ends a last-minute push from Democrats to change the state's congressional maps after they successfully signed into law new legislative boundaries last month that weakened Republicans' grip on the state legislature. Quote, this motion comes as no surprise after the court's new majority telegraphed its willingness to replace political power in the state of Wisconsin by overturning Johnson v. Wisconsin Election Commission, unquote, according to conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, wrote in the order referring to the court's previous decision on the maps. Newly elected liberal Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz did not participate in a vote on the motion, writing Friday that she was not seated on the court when the underlying case was decided. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley in her concurring opinion rejecting the request to consider new maps. The decision came in response to a motion filed in January by the Democratic law firm Elias Law Group to the state Supreme Court, asking the court to reconsider the congressional lines ahead of the 2024 election. The group argued that new lines were warranted after the high court, when considering the legislative map challenge late last year, said it would no longer favor maps that minimize changes to existing boundary lines, a theory known as least change approach. Stay with me. We're going to walk you through this. Wisconsin's current congressional district boundaries were, in fact, drawn by Evers and later approved by the, I'll add in here, conservative state Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court in March 2022 rejected the state's legislative maps, also drawn by Evers, but declined to block the congressional lines at the time. Democrats, however, argued in recent months that Evers' congressional maps were drawn under those now defunct least change constraints. The court, in its decision, did not directly address the theory, but Bradley and Ziegler in their concurrence said that the liberal majority's, quote, reckless abandonment of settled legal precedent, unquote, in the December legal maps, a legislative maps case on which the motion was based, quote, incentivizes litigants to bring politically divisive cases to this court regardless of their legal merit, unquote, unquote. So let me put this down again in slightly more digestible terms here. So again, just to review, that the former conservative court said, look, you know, we're not going to allow these kind of least change approach maps. Or the current court said this, the current liberal court said, we're not going to allow this quote unquote least change approach. And that's why they reversed the legislative boundaries. Boy, I can't talk. I only do this for a living, folks. So then that's why this more liberal group, the Democratic group, said, hey, okay, so you did this way on the legislative maps. We want you to do the same thing on the congressional maps. Janet Protasiewicz rightly recused herself because she said, hey, I wasn't on the court when this original decision was made, so I'm going to recuse myself. Great decision, right decision. And so the current liberal court said, we're not going to, because the conservatives here said we're not going to do anything. So we're going to keep the current boundaries this November for congressional maps. So I think it was the right approach. Because if they had gone along with this, number one, if Protasiewicz had not recused herself, there would have been all kinds of backlash. And I think this just shows that Janet Protasiewicz is a thoughtful jurist. That she's not there. I mean, it would have been very easy for her just to do for political reasons to say, you know, forget it. I'm gonna be on this and decide it no matter what, even though I probably shouldn't. That would have been a political decision by Janet Protasiewicz. She did the right thing and recused herself. So therefore, the court basically said, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, we're going to keep the current congressional maps the way that they are. It gets very confusing. I get that. And obviously confusing for Toddy once in a while to talk about it. But I think this was the right decision based on Janet Protasiewicz recusing herself. So to review, legislatively, state Senate and Assembly, we're going to have new maps come November. Also for the primaries. For congressional maps, we're going to have the same maps as ever before. And that means that really the only two competitive races here are the third for do-nothing Derek Van Orten in the third congressional district on the western side of the state, and also in the first, where you have Brian Stile in the first congressional district, Janesville, Beloit, that area. Those are the two that are going to be, you know, competitive. I think Democrats have a better chance of knocking off Van Orten than they do Stile, but we'll see. Still a lot of time. People are still getting to know candidates, and we'll see what happens. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Off the text line, Chris here listening on WMDX. Dora the Explorer systematically making your children dumber since the year 2000. Really?
That seems like
a harsh comment.
I think some of it is kind of rough, I think. But if it's a good bilingual show.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. You know, there's a lot of Spanish words that I think kids in America in my age and younger know because they heard it on Dora.
And yeah, you know, which I think one of the first Latina cartoon characters that really was like, you know, the kids can relate to. I think Dora the Explorer is great. Also, WAUK, only progressives would do that, and that was wrong to do. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what they're meaning there, but okay, we'll read that comment as it came across. If you want to text us, you could do so on the Civic Media app. It is available on your App Store on your Apple or Android device. Simply put in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Come back and talk about national spokespeople for Biden and Trump in Wisconsin over the weekend. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us to kick around the news. In hour number two, all things Wisconsin with the fabulous farm babe Ham Yonke. Don't miss it.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We Energies expects to spend about $335 million to build electrical infrastructure to serve Microsoft's data center in Mount Pleasant. Data centers are massive users of electricity. The U.S. Energy Department says data centers use as much as 50 times the energy of a similar-sized office space. Data centers run around the clock to support cloud computing and other data-intensive applications. The Wisconsin legislature's new district maps are creating openings for Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hasselbein says she's hearing from a lot of people who want to run for office.
I am thrilled. We've got great candidates all over, and with Trump at the top of the ticket, and with Tammy Baldwin and her numbers, it's going to be a great year.
That's Hasselbein at a WISP Politics luncheon last week. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Now that Gateway's counseling services has a new location, they're looking for new counselors. The organization says they're preparing to open this month and have started accepting clients, but they need more employees to fully meet the community's needs. Gateways will offer things like group counseling and substance abuse services. The organization is hoping to hire as many people from the soon-to-be-closed HSHS and Purveya facilities as they can, and any interested candidates can apply on the website. New fishing regulations for the St. Croix River are now in effect. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the new regulations will change bag and length limits for popular game fish and create a new fish refuge on the river. Some of the regulations include daily limits like catching a maximum of 5 catfish and only being allowed to keep one over 24 inches. The new fish refuge will also protect spawning fish from the State Highway 8 bridge upstream to the St. Croix Falls Dam. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If the music to Beyoncé's new country song Texas Hold'em sounds familiar, it might be because you were a fan of the cartoon Franklin growing up. Some fans thought the singer sampled the show's music, which probably had professional samplers Vanilla Ice and Kid Rock jealous. Social mediaites were all over the spectrum, with some implying theft and some saying there's only a vague similarity. Franklin theme song composer Bruce Coburn weighed in saying that the song shares only a similarity in rhythmic feel, but that it's all Beyoncé's. The song made Beyoncé the first ever black woman to reach the top of the country charts. Joyce Lipinski, widow of Richard Lewis, took to social media to thank fans on Twix for the loving tributes to her hilarious husband who passed away last week. Deadline reported that Lipinski encouraged those who miss her husband to honor him by donating to his charity, ComedyGivesBack.com. Lewis will be missed. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high of 46 this afternoon and some scattered rain developing this afternoon and continuing into this evening. We could get 1 to 2 tenths of an inch of rain by the time it winds down. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clearing 26. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high back to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Monday, that's for sure, March 4th, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on the show. Want to get to some state, I guess, news-ish, state observation, maybe a better way of looking at it over the weekend. The great show Upfront, which airs across the state. It originates out of WISN out of Milwaukee, but it appears on other affiliates throughout the state. And they decided to take a look at the Biden and the Trump campaign. And they apparently invited in representatives of said campaigns, which, of course, is absolutely normal. And people do it all the time. You call up and you say, hey, we're going to do this story and we're inviting someone. You know, we would love to have the candidate, obviously, but if there's a surrogate that would like to come on the show, we would welcome them. Happens all the time. So on WISN and on Upfront, the program across the state this weekend, they invited in a Biden representative and a Trump representative. And I want to play these two clips for you and discuss it a little bit. So the first one on Upfront, this is Malcolm Kenyatta, who they list as a Biden campaign national advisory board. He apparently is a Pennsylvania state representative. Now, again, I'm not quite sure why the Biden folks chose to send somebody from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin to represent the campaign, but they did. So this is Malcolm Kenyatta, Biden campaign national advisory board member, being interviewed on Upfront over the weekend.
Latest Marquette Law School poll provides some insight on where black voters in Wisconsin are at the moment right now. In a hypothetical Trump-Biden matchup, Biden 54, Trump 24, not decided 22. So there's 46% of black voters who say either Trump or they're not decided. Why do you think that is?
You know what? Listen, I don't spend a lot of time looking at polls. The polls have the polls show you one thing, but what we have to look at is the results of actual elections. And when we look at the elections, special election after special election after special election, Democrats have done a lot better than any of the polls said.
Is this a challenge, though?
I think every single day you wake up and you ask people for their votes. I am not. This is what I understand. This is going to be a close election no matter what way you slice it. I think this campaign understands that. The president understands it. But what I'm confident about is the president has a message that will resonate with folks because it's a message that's about building on the success that we've seen in this administration.
All right. So that was the clip from Malcolm Kenyatta, Biden campaign national advisory board member, who is a Pennsylvania state representative. And the point that the folks on Upfront were making from this Marquette Law School poll was that when polled, black voters in Wisconsin said that the 54% would vote for Biden, 24% Trump, and 22% had not yet decided. Which, again, I get it. The guy apparently is a Pennsylvania state representative. I was going to say, if you're not used to being interviewed by the press, you know, you could get nerve wracking. But to just sit there and kind of stumble around and say, well, I know I'm not really believe in polls or whatnot. I mean, over the weekend, it broke that the Trump campaign is using artificial intelligence to place himself in the middle of photos with black American voters trying to drum up the black vote. What about mentioning that the president of the United States was in Wisconsin recently and built a billion-dollar bridge in Superior that helps all Wisconsinites, regardless of your ethnicity? How about talking about the fact that there have been more jobs created under this president than the past five administrations combined? The unemployment is at a record low, that the United States is lowering inflation faster than any democracy in the world. And that affects not just black voters, but all voters. I mean, I would hope that the Biden folks would be a little more prepared when they go on TV.
Yeah, that was honestly sad and thoroughly underwhelming.
Yes. Now, Let's play the Trump surrogate for you. This, let me get to my notes here very quickly. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Here is the Trump spokesperson. That she, I'm not sure which one came on first here, but this is the Trump spokesperson on the same program on WISN Upfront. And this is Carolyn Leavitt, I believe, is the name here. I'll get it for you in a second. Listen to the
That's
cut.
Correct, yeah.
Carolyn Leavitt talking about representing Trump on Upfront over this weekend.
Caroline, I want to play some comments here from Nikki Haley looking at to the general and even key states like Wisconsin. She said this past week. Take a listen.
I think you look at any of the early states. Yes, he won those. I give him that. But he did not get 40% of the Republican primary vote. You can't win a general election without the 40%. But look at the polls. The Marquette poll came out last week. I mean, in all the polls, he's down by 5. He's down by 7. Marquette had a margin of error. I defeat Joe Biden by 18 points.
So to that point, she has a much greater lead over former President Donald Trump, even in a hypothetical head-to-head matchup with President Biden here in Wisconsin.
Well, first of all, that's one poll of many. There are far more polls showing President Trump beating Joe Biden in Wisconsin and in many other battleground states across this country, and also in national polling as well. To Nikki Haley's specific comments about the Republican Party, you can't win a general election if you don't have the majority support of your own voters, and Nikki Haley clearly does not have that. She has no mathematical pathway to the Republican nomination. Her campaign is at this point an utter waste of time and resources. So we're going to, again, focus our energy on winning over independents, winning over key demographics in swing states like yours of Wisconsin so that we can defeat Joe Biden in November.
And to that, Nikki Haley wrote in the Chicago Tribune Friday morning, Trump is dividing our country when we need to unite. He calls his opponents venom. He threatens people who don't support him. He has driven away suburban voters, contributing to Republican losses in 18, 20, and 22. I'm curious to that point about independent and swing voters in key states like Wisconsin. What is the plan to win those voters back?
There's a very simple question that we will continue to pose to independent voters who may not know who they're going to vote for in November. And that is this: are you better off today or were you better off 4 years ago under the Trump administration?
Now, there you go. There's Carolyn Leavitt, the Trump campaign national press secretary.
She was prepared for the obvious questions they were going to ask and had put together answers for them. Easy. That's what you should do as a spokesperson.
Right? I mean, one of those representatives did not help their candidate. The other one did. And this is, I wanted to play those clips for you to give you a tangible example. When people tell me or call and say, well, there's no way that Trump can win. Actually, there is. And you, again, in 2016, Trump was, his campaign was a bunch of political misfit toys. There are a bunch of goofballs running that campaign, and they stumbled into a victory. In 2020, it was kind of a mix. But in 2024, despite the atrocious, ridiculous, racist, repulsive things that Trump says and does, despite having 91 indictments against him, despite being a convicted rapist, his team that he has behind him is like this Carolyn Leavitt. Experienced, knows politics, has their stuff together, is articulate, and says all the right things. And that is the mechanism that is behind the chaos of Trump. And that is why he has a legitimate chance to win. And that is why it is so incumbent upon everyone who does not believe in Trump or Trumpism to create a coalition against him in order to save democracy. I don't care whether you're a socialist. I don't care whether you're a progressive, a Democrat, a conservative, a Democrat, a libertarian, an independent, or a thoughtful, principled Republican. If you are opposed to Trumpism and Donald Trump, welcome to the coalition against him to save democracy. That is where we're at right now. And for people to think they're going to sit out or send Joe Biden a message and vote for Jill Stein or whoever, please. Any vote that is not for Joe Biden is a vote for Donald Trump. And with people like we just played behind him, he has a legitimate shot. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I got a little different take on it. After about a week and a half ago, I saw the small donor thing, and he doesn't expand anything. I'm talking about Trump now, his base. And I honestly think that it, you know, way better than I do, that we're light years from an election, politically speaking. You know what I mean? And this stuff is starting to break the president's way insofar as the numbers with the economy, and it has to sink in a little bit with people. They're a little slow on that, and I don't think everybody pays us. And I'm just not a great believer in the polls in general anymore. However,
go ahead.
You got to give Trump credit for one thing. He at least acknowledged that Nancy Pelosi, the first Democrat ever to win the Republican vote in D.C. this weekend.
That's good. I like that one, Dick.
I wish I could say it was mine, but I heard that. And you know, but all of his gaffes, too. Uh-oh. When he's really out there in the spotlight and you're really focusing on him, he had some whoppers again this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, what was one of them?
He called Biden.
Argentina.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Argentina's a great guy.
Right, right. But he also confused Biden with Obama again over the weekend. And people don't want to report that. Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to when it's narrowed down to just the two of them.
But that's the point, Dick. I just talked with a friend over the weekend about this. I think that there is reticence on both sides and independents alike. People don't want the same matchup, and they're still hoping that somehow it's going to be a different matchup. Well, it's not going to be a different matchup. It's going to be Trump v. Biden again. And I think when people understand that that is the choice, I think people are going to pick democracy and compassion and legitimacy over back crap crazy Trump. That's just my point. As Karen Hughes, former W. Bush communication director, is fond of saying, every election comes down to a choice, and perfect is not on the ballot. And I think when it comes down to a choice between another 4 years of crazy Trump or 4 more years of Joe Biden, I still believe that most Americans will pick Biden. That's just my take.
Yeah, and you got to hope that the Biden people will start refreshing people's memory about just how crazy and how bad it was.
That's the point.
Everything down the line, it was just, Todd, it was terrible.
Yeah.
We both know it.
Right. Well, we'll be around to help remind people. Thanks a lot, Dick. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Two clips you played earlier was kind of scary. The Trump lady out hit the Obama, the Biden guy,
yeah.
Every which way but loose, and it's kind of spooky. But the polls I read this morning, it really comes down to 5 to 6 states. Biden is still down in all of them. I don't know how that can be, but he's still down in all of them. A lot of it has to do with his age factor, and that's very concerning to people. I think Biden needs to get out there and lean into his age, and they need to change what they're doing, because when you're talking 5-6 states, anything can happen in the last 2 months of the campaign. So right. That's
Wisco,
all I'm saying. Wisco, all right, thanks, Todd.
I appreciate it, Wisco. Thank you so much. Appreciate it calling in. Wisco Paul, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. As Charles Franklin, the director of the great Marquette Law School poll, always says, he says, look, this is just a snapshot in time. And remember, polls don't vote. People do. So that's the key here. These are snapshots in time. And again, I don't think that people are fully dialed in and willing to admit to themselves, whether we like it or not, it is going to be Trump v. Biden. And I think when people finally realize that those are the choices, I still believe that more people will choose Joe Biden than Donald Trump. That is my belief. We shall see. 855-752-4842. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, including news on Andre Jacques. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show of the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the wonderful Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, taking over these airwaves every afternoon, 2 until 4. Maggie, getting your first week of shows underway. Great shows indeed. Encourage you to stick around after the news, the weather, and sports at the top of the hour. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to go to state politics now. And again, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea. Busy guy, this Lawrence Andrea. Write a lot of stuff over the weekend. In case you did not hear, big news from the 8th Congressional District. Big is the key word. Over the weekend, State Senator Andre Jacques considered and announced this morning, apparently, that he is running for Congress, setting up a primary race for the Northeastern Wisconsin House seat left open by the impending retirement of Representative Mike Gallagher. Jacques, a DePere Republican, said in his launch that he wanted to, quote, deliver wins for the conservative cause, unquote, in running for higher office. He cast the nascent primary as, quote, a contrast of the grassroots and really conservatives versus the establishment, unquote. He went on to say, quote, nobody is going to outwork me. He said this morning on the regular Joe show. He said, quote, I want to bring that to the next level because there are a lot of problems to fix in D.C., unquote. The announcement means there will, in fact, be a Republican primary for the state's solidly red 8th Congressional District. Former state senator Roger Roth, an Appleton Republican, launched his own show. Wouldn't that be fantastic if he did? Launched his own campaign for the seat just hours after Gallagher said he would not seek re-election in November. And then there's the young upstart, Alex Brusewitz, a GOP consultant closely aligned with former President Donald Trump, is also considering a run. He's originally from Wisconsin, but lives in Florida. But here's the thing: if precedent follows suit, you would think this Alex Brusewitz kid, a Floridian, is a perfect person to run for Congress, right along with OC Eric Hovde, a Californian, for the United States Senate.
You'd think so.
I mean, the more people from out of state you could get to run as Republicans, it seems, the better off they are. Now, Jacques, 44, has represented Wisconsin's first Senate district since 2019. His district stretches from Appleton and northern Calumet County up through Door County. He previously served in the state assembly from 2011 to 2019. On Monday, that's today, Jacques touted his conservative bona fides. He noted his opposition to abortion, saying his, quote, political identity kind of formed around the pro-life issue, unquote, and called the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border a centerpiece of Republican campaigns, an existential threat, he said, quote unquote. He highlighted legislation he backed, the aim to stop sanctuary cities, and he supports building the border wall. So this is fantastic. And here's why. because you've got at least two, and there's a chance three Republicans are going to be in this primary in the 8th Congressional District. And in order to win this congressional primary up there in Northeast Wisconsin, they're going to have to out-conservative each other. So what you're going to have here are three dudes trying to express how much they want to control women's bodies. Well, I want abortion. Well, I want abortion even more. Well, I want abortion even more than you. And they're going to be, it's going to be a primary campaign filled with misogyny and masculinity and hate. And that's what the Republicans are going to offer you up there in Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. So I'm really hoping that I think there are three different women who are considering running on the Democratic side. And I think this sets up perfectly for an upset election up there in the 8th Congressional District. Because if you have a reasonable Democratic person, probably going to be a woman, up against someone who had to come through a brutal Republican primary trying to out right-wing each other, I think the Democrat is going to look like they're sane, like they're actually a sane person. Because remember, here's the thing I know about Andre Jacques, a couple of things. Number one, he refused to take the COVID vaccine because he's a Trumpster. And, you know, I guess he was all for Ivermectin, whatever that horse drug is.
Ivermectin.
Thank you. Yeah. Ivermectin. He's all for horse drugs or whatever to stop the COVID.
Whatever you call it, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But Trump said it did. And so, you know, he said, I don't need the vaccine. And he happens to be a rotund man. Well, he didn't get the vaccine, but what he did get was COVID. And it landed him in a hospital on a respirator, and the poor guy nearly died. And there's nothing funny about that. But the fact that he did it to himself, and apparently was for the horse drugs, but here's the thing he's not for. And this is very important if you're an 8th Congressional District voter. He is not for bestiality. And the guy authored a bill because they had a problem up there with some goofball who was getting frisky with the horses. And that rubbed Andre Jacques the wrong way. And so he introduced, and apparently in Wisconsin, at least at the time, bestiality with a horse was not illegal. And so the cops said, we can't arrest him because it's not against the law, technically. So Andre Jacques authored a bill to technically outlaw bestiality with horses. And Robin Voss, the speaker, wouldn't put it on the floor. And he blamed, Andre Jacques did, on his first loss in the state Senate race to a Democrat. I believe Frost was the last name. And he and his brother Jacques, they blamed that loss on the fact that Robin Voss wouldn't let Jacques' bestiality bill go to the floor and pass at the time. So if you're pro ivermectin, or what is it?
Ivermectin.
Thank you. If you're pro ivermectin, the horse drug, but you're anti bestiality with horses and you don't want women to have any control over their own bodies, then Andre Jacques is the person for you. Run. Don't walk to the ballot box to vote for big Andre Jacques.
If you like horses, but not that much, Andre Jacques, the guy for you.
They should clip that and run that. You just gave the Andre Jacques people a great primary ad. That was a great way to end the show. I'm not horsing around. It's going to be quite the race up there in the old eight. Hang on to your seatbelts. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. The news starts now. For Aaron Sommers, I'm Todd Allball. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
And your day will come. Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California.
This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court has ruled former President Trump can remain on Colorado's primary ballot just in time for Super Tuesday. Legal analyst.